The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Super. Thank you, fellas, for that. Amen. It's always good to hear men sing, and that is great. We're in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 3, and I don't think tonight is going to be an extremely lengthy message, though I may be wrong, but I have been known to be wrong before, but it's not my purpose tonight for it to be a lengthy message, let me say that, but let's look at it, okay, because already it's become lengthy. Look at 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 3 and 4. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar." That's pretty strong words right there. "And the truth is not in him." You know, one of our Baptist distinctives, or should I say a Christian's distinctive that knows the Bible, is the fact that believers know that you have eternal security. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 1, we see that our destiny is sealed. If you ever want to know if your destiny has been sealed, Ephesians 1 will answer that for you. Ephesians chapter 1 shows that our destiny is sealed by the Holy Spirit the very moment you get saved. And so if you ever wonder if your destiny has been sealed, in other words, there are some people that walk around saying, well, I know I got saved and I think I still got it. No. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Get a load of this. Everlasting life in the Son. Stay with it now. Everlasting life. See it now. Everlasting life in the Son is inseparable. So if you have the Son, you have everlasting life. You cannot separate one from the other. It's very clear to be able to see that in our lives. Also in the Scripture. The Apostle Paul talked about this over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 12. Listen to what he says. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. He said, "I know, it says, whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." He said, look, I know I believed who I believed in, and I also know this, that he's able to keep. And by the way, can I tell you, you ought to thank God tonight that he's able to keep. Over in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, some of you use this as a launching pad for when you go soul winning. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." You know, in this particular book, you'll see that the word know is mentioned, if you will, 39 times. So there's great emphasis on the word know. I'm glad tonight that I have a know-so salvation. I'm glad tonight that my salvation is not resting upon my feelings. I'm glad tonight that my salvation is not resting upon my works. I'm glad tonight that my salvation is not resting upon my baptism. The farther I go, the less louder you are. I'm glad tonight that my salvation is not rested upon padded pews. That didn't go over well either. Let me show you tonight how you and I can have assurance all the way through. This is so good tonight. You'll get this. There are three results that we get in being obedient. Three results we get in being obedient. Number one, there is the assured heart. One of the results I get in being obedient to Christ, somebody said that busy Christians that are serving doubt less. Busy Christians that are serving doubt less. You know who I see that doubt their salvation more than I see that don't is those that are in the church, but they're not serving through the church. Many times I see that they begin to doubt. They doubt their salvation. They doubt, if you would please, that God could answer prayer. They doubt that God could work in their life. The best thing you could ever do with your life and the life of those that live in your household is to get them immersed in serving through the local church. One day you're going to get to heaven and God's going to ask you, why is it the only institution that I allowed my son to create, you were not faithful to? And why is it that you didn't choose to serve through that institution? Now you think about it tonight. The God of heaven created that which is the local church through his son, the only institution that he ever created. The only institution, I'm talking about an institution that Jesus Christ, he himself started, was the local church. You say, well, preacher, you're big on the local church. I am big on the local church. Now, can I say tonight, however, that in the local church and serving in the local church and being obedient in the local church, you will find out that you can receive assurance. You can receive an assured heart. First off, you can receive assurance of salvation. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 3, the Bible says, and whereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So God says that you can receive assured heart if you are simply obeying him, okay? So keeping his commandments is not keeping his commandments to be saved, but in keeping his commandments, you can receive assurance that you are saved. Amen. You see, by serving, by going out, how many times have you gone out and have you shared the plan of salvation? And in so doing, the Holy Spirit of God, very precious to you, very personal to you, took you sharing the plan of salvation to give you assurance. You see, as we do that, God assures the heart. Over in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 4, the Bible says, and he saith, I know him that keepeth not his commandments. Listen, it says, he that saith, I know him, and he keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, that word keep simply means this. It means to guard continually. So here's a person that says, boy, I tell you what, if God says do it, I'm going to do it. If God says do it, I'm going to do it. You know why? Because in so doing something and serving God, you build a better relationship. Okay? All right, let's do this, if I may. Brother Craig, you come, if you will, and you'll be my son, okay? You're my son, and I never had a bald-head son before, and you're but my son, okay? Here we go. Okay, here we go, man. All right? And so I say, okay, let's go over here and do this. We're going to go over here and we're going to dig a hole, man. That's what we're doing. We're going to dig a hole, okay? Man, let's go over here. We're going to roof the house. Let's go do it. We're going to roof the house. That's what we're going to do. We're going to roof the house. Hey, let's go over here and let's eat together.
Yes.
He's all about it, man. He's all about it. And so let's eat together, okay? No, slow it down. You're going to stomachache. And so let's go over there and let's eat together, okay? All right? And so now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. As dad is going a direction and I say, let's go. Stay with me. As I as dad am going a direction and I say, let's go, he has a choice right then and there to say, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Now, as he says, yes, I will, he comes and we do stuff together. So guess what? He is in my presence. Now, that's his choice to be in my presence. As we go over here and we're digging a trench, he chooses to be in my presence. He chooses to be around me. As we go and we take a meal together, he chooses to be around me. Okay, now, wait a minute. Watch this.
I stole food off the plate.
And he's a thief, amen? Now watch this, okay? I'm saying this. I'm saying that we do understand tonight that there is the assurance of salvation. How is it that you can have the assurance of salvation? Let me tell you, you're doubting your salvation. It might be because you're not serving Jesus Christ the way you should be. You know, can I tell you, it's the people that get involved in church. I'm talking about fully immersing themselves. Fully immersing themselves. Have you ever seen the Christian do this? They get farther and farther and farther and farther away and closer to the back door and farther away. Now, I'm going to tell you something, though, that you don't understand. Before they do that with their body, they've already done that with their heart. You know, now it's like, you know, I tell you what, I got to make myself go to church. Well, I'm forcing myself to go. Well, I don't really like it, but I'm going to go anyway. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? That person is probably not serving Jesus Christ with a surrendered heart. So what is that, preacher? That's a heart problem.
Amen.
So get your heart involved, all right? Give yourself to the work of God. Give yourself to Jesus Christ. Give yourself to your Bible reading time. Give yourself to your prayer time. Give yourself to passing out gospel tracts. Give yourself to listening attentively to preaching. Give yourself to listening attentively to the Sunday school lesson. Give yourself to teaching a Sunday school. You say, but preacher, there's not much reward in it. We're not talking about reward. We're talking about service. But can I tell you, you cannot serve Jesus Christ without being rewarded. There's going to come a judgment day. There's going to come the judgment seat of Christ at that judgment day for the believers, and he's going to look at you and he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and he's going to give you reward simply because you stood up and did what you were supposed to do. Now, in serving him, he gives you the assurance of salvation. By the way, listen to this. In serving him, he assures you of maturity. He assures you of maturity. You know what happens when you serve him? He matures you. The Bible says over in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 5, the Bible says, and whosoever keepeth his word. Now, by the way, that means guarding it. That means if you would please, and by the way, if you'll notice this, that is in the present tense, and it's also in a continual tense. And what does that mean? That means presently, continually. Keepeth. You do it now, and you do it later. And then you do it later, and you do it later. You don't ever quit. You simply keep keeping it. John chapter 14 and verse 15, the Bible says, if you love me, you would keep my... You know, you remember when we first got married, for those of you that are married... I mean, you loved her so much you could eat her up. Then later on, you got so frustrated with her, you wish you would have. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Can I tell you this? Can I tell you, listen to me now, that relationship is like that marriage relationship, but it should never go away. I mean, it's the honeymoon stage. It's the time where you say, I still love him. I still love her. I still can't wait to be with him. I still can't wait to be with her. I look forward to the time that we're together again. Now, by the way, that's like that relationship ought to be with Jesus Christ. How do you get that? You get that simply by obeying. Walk beside him. Walk beside him. The Bible says here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, in him verily is the love of God. Listen to this. Verily in him is the love of God perfected. It says, hereby we know that we are in him. All right? So as I serve him, all of a sudden I get to know. Oh, okay, come on. Let's go back again. All right? So we walk together. We walk together. The more we walk together. And by the way, he gives me commandments. I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about commandments all throughout the scriptures. So he gives me commandments, if you will, or in this case, me playing that which is the Lord Jesus and him being the servant, I give him commandments. I give him commandments. Now, by the way, God is always going to do right whether we do or not. You agree with that? Raise your hand.
Amen.
I said, God is always going to do right whether we do or not. You agree with that? Raise your hand.
Amen.
So God is always going to do right. He's always going to do right. So that means God is going to teach right, God is going to give right, God is going to instruct right, his word is not wrong, his word is not in error, all right? And so because of that, the word of God stays true. It is the believers that err.
Amen.
It's the believers that say, well, I believe that, but. Well, I'll do this much, but no further.
Yeah.
You know, sounds like a bunch of goats always butting against something. Okay, now watch this, if you will. Here's what we understand. We understand that as we do love him, it's perfected in us. How's it perfected in us? By obedience. You know, the more fleshly we are, the more we create a thirst for fleshly things. Shows up in the music we listen to, shows up in the friends that we have, shows up in the places that we go. The friends you have reveal two things, either you're hanging around somebody like you are or somebody like you want to be. By the friends you keep, it shows either who you are or the direction you're going. Now, wait a minute, there is another side to that, or somebody you're trying to help to bring the right way. The right way. So there is a good out in helping other people. But most young people don't stand for God enough to be able to influence, but are rather being influenced. All right? So we have to be careful. You know, a young salesman once went out, was very disappointed. His sales was supposed to be an all-time high, and they were so very low. And he came back, and the manager chewed him out, and he gave this complaint back to the manager. And he said to the manager, he said, well, it just goes to prove that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. The manager said, in return, your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty. You know, my job is to make people thirsty for righteousness. Your job is to make people thirsty for righteousness. I'm saying this. I'm saying that when we're obedient, it shows the assured heart. Statement number two, it shows in an abiding walk. When we're obedient, it shows up in an abiding walk. Listen to it. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible says, he that saith that he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. All right, so if you're abiding with him, you have a desire to walk as he walked. The Bible says over in John chapter 15 and verse 4, the Bible says, abide in me and I in you. The Bible says, as a branch cannot bear fruit in itself, it says it of itself, except it abide in the vine. Okay, or except it abide in me. All right, now wait a minute. And so we understand that a person cannot bear fruit of themselves. Okay, watch this. Okay, come. And so here's, and you help me, okay? And so here's two soul winners going out. Soul winner number one, soul winner number two, all right? Soul winner number one takes the Holy Spirit with him. They go soul winning together. You say, once you're saved, the Holy Spirit goes with you everywhere you go. Yes, but are you yielded? So he's yielded to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit touches him on the shoulder, says, witness to the man behind you. I'm over here. I'm not yielded to the Holy Spirit. And so I'm saying, where do I go? What do I do? I'm scared. I've never done this before. I'm going to get out there and fail. I know I'm going to fail. I know. See, there's no confidence whatsoever simply because I am void of a yielded life to God. See, that... this would correct marriage problems. Do you know that? Do you know? Okay, watch. Here we go. Where's your wife at? Is your wife here? She's not here?
She's in the nursery.
Okay, go sit down. I don't want either one of you. I didn't mean that bad. Is your wife here? Your wife? Come here. Would you do that? Come here. Hurry. Mrs. Butler's a wonderful lady. Love her. Appreciate her. Okay, now watch this. Come down here with me, if you will. Watch this. Here's what we do. We understand this. Here's what we understand. You ready? Here we go. So here's the husband. Here's the wife. Give me Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Watch this. He yields himself to God. You ready? Yields himself to God. And so as he yields himself to God, Holy Spirit says this, take your wife to supper. So arm in arm, you go to supper. Come on, Holy Spirit, you stay with them now, all right? And you go up here and you eat in a nice fancy restaurant, you know, and stuff like this, okay? And then she yields to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, tell him thank you. And then Holy Spirit didn't tell you to say that, yeah. And so, but you see, all right, now wait, and that makes a happy marriage. It makes a happy marriage. Now, wait a minute, watch this, all right? So he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and he comes home, and he's being real nice to his wife, and he says, honey, I love you. Tap him on the shoulder.
I love you.
And she doesn't respond back. She gives him that mean bird eye dog look. And go ahead, mean bird eye dog look. And, oh, yeah, that was really good. All right. And so you tell she doesn't do that much. All right. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, you will. All right. And can I tell you, but if they're both yielded to the Holy Spirit, man, it is good. I love you. I love you more. I love you really more. I want to be with you the rest of the days of my life. Can I tell you, listen, now I'm being honest tonight. I'm telling you, when you abide in the Lord, when you get close to God, God can help you with your marriage struggles. God can help you with your child-rearing difficulties. God can help you with the problems that you got in your life. God can help you to straighten out the messes if you would just decide to yield yourself to God and abide in Him. By abiding in Him, what does that mean? That means you walk the way He says walk. You know, you're obedient to Him. You know, Holy Spirit says to pass out a gospel tract. So He gives a gospel tract to who He thinks is lost. You know, and the Holy Spirit says, give it out to someone else. All right, and so she gives a tract out. All right, now that's being yielded. That's being yielded. Holy Spirit says, he's so yielded, he goes to the closet and he says, dear God, today I want to please you in everything I do. I want to abide in you. I want to walk in you. I want to obey you. And so he goes to the closet and says, dear God, what tie would you have me to wear today? And the Holy Spirit says, and he puts it on. And did you know somebody's going to come up and stare at that tie sometime through the day and say, wow, that's a nice tie. And it's going to open an opportunity for him to be able to share Christ just because he was obedient. You say, you believe, preacher, you ought to be that obedient. I'm telling you tonight, dear beloved friend, you ought to be that obedient. And if you get your eyes off of each other and stop criticizing each other, can I tell you tonight, put your eyes on God and to take care of your relationship struggles tonight. It'll help you in your child rearing endeavors. It'll help you with your life if you just decide to walk and to abide in Him. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this, if you will. Did a wonderful job. Look at it. John chapter 15 and verse 4. The Bible says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. He says, you're trying to do it all by yourself, and no wonder you're flustered. You're trying to make your marriage work all by yourself. No wonder it's not working. Marriage was not a void of God. Marriage, when it was given by that which was God Himself as the first institution that God gave to mankind, was given by God. It's not supposed to be without God. It is supposed to be with God. Now, can I say, 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21, the Bible says, for even it says, thereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 1, the Bible says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. So it's talking about abiding in. Abiding in. I'm saying as we're obedient to Christ, as we're obedient to God, as we're obedient to the scriptures, it assures our heart. Statement number one. Statement number two, it helps us to abide in our walk. Last statement, I'm done. It helps us to be active in loving others. Active in loving others. You don't hear much about that, but it's true. It helps us to be active in loving others. And I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about all the commandments. And I'm talking about the new commandment that the Lord gave us. Look at John chapter 13 and verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. The Bible says, a new commandment have I given unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, the Bible says, but this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one for another. All right? So wait a minute. How is it that I'm supposed to love? I am supposed to love by the way that God says to love. There's the agape love. What is agape love? That is a deep, abiding, spiritual love. A man, if you would please, who says that I love my beans, but I do not love my wife, is not giving agape love. Agape love, if you would please, would be that type of love that we give. It's a deep, abiding love. And then there's the burden-bearing love. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Over in John chapter 15 and verse 10, the Bible says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. John chapter 15 and verse 12, the Bible says, and this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now there's the burden-bearing love. We don't know all those brothers and sisters that's down in Louisiana that was taken over by that flood, but I can tell you there's a heart cord that we have to try to help them because they're brothers and sisters in Christ, and that is a burden-bearing love. Then there's a constant love. John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, and he saith, listen to it now, and he saith that he that is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. So what is that consistent love or that constant love? Let me give it to you and I'm done tonight. That constant love is this. That constant love separates us from darkness. That constant love separates us from darkness. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, and he saith, he that is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. You know, when you're walking in the light, when you're walking in the understanding, if you will, the light, that which is a direction of God's pathway, when you're walking in the direction that you ought to be, listen, you can't help but love somebody that loves Christ. You love them. Why do you love them? Because they're walking in the light and you're walking in the light and you're both not stumbling in darkness. You ever get up at night, you can't find the light? Hello? Normally as I'm heading in into our bedroom, I'll be the one that will turn the lights off. And as I'm turning off the lights, sometimes I'll pull that little cell phone out. You do that too sometimes. And I'll just shine it. And sometimes little Andrew has been by the house or somebody else has been by the house and maybe they left just a little bit of something on the floor and we just kind of overlooked it. And I'll step on that and it's like, oh. Pain goes to the head from the foot immediately. Now, can I tell you, listen, why did I step on it? Darkness. 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 Listen, there's been many a time I was hunting as a young man, and I'd be out in the woods, and all of a sudden it would get dark. I'm talking about pitch dark. What is that? That's a time where you can't see your hand in front of your face. And you wish that you had cell phones back then and stuff like that. All you had is those old lanterns and flashlights that didn't have shine. Yeah. Now, I'm saying this. There's something about being in darkness. But did you know that there's some people in church, they sit there and they don't get it. Right. Now, I'm being honest with you. They don't get it. I mean, they sit there. Honestly, they do. And it's like, you know, they're in darkness.
Yeah.
And the preaching is like this. And they get in the car, honey, what did you get out of that? Did God speak to your heart? Did God show you anything? Was there one verse that you caught? Now, it might be because there's some darkness around. Come on. All right, watch this. You know what the Holy Spirit does? Here's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit will take a flashlight and shine it down on the Word of God and say, hey, neighbor, looky here, that's for you. Now, if the Holy Ghost is not doing that for you, something is wrong. What has God showed you lately through preaching? What is it you come on, are you practicing religion or are you building a relationship? If you're just here tonight, dear beloved friend, and you're practicing religion, but you're not building a relationship, you're going to leave here as dead as when you came in. But if you're here tonight saying, preacher, man, I've got to grow. I mean, I'm tired of being dead. I'm tired of being lukewarm. I'm tired of just not making it. I need help. And by the way, if that's who you are tonight, there's great hope for you. God can work in your life, and God will work in your life. How does he do that? He does that because you've decided, I will not walk in darkness anymore. When you abide in his love, it helps you not to walk in darkness. Statement number two, helps you not to stumble. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 10, the Bible says, and he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. So when you are walking in the light, when you are obeying the Bible, God's going to remove the stumbling. Okay, wait a minute. We've all been there. We've all been there. We're all growing believers. I've had stuff in my life that if somebody would examine, they would stumble over and fall. And if you're honest tonight before the Lord, you've had stuff in your life tonight as a believer, as a saved, born-again believer, that if somebody examined your life, they would probably stumble over and fall. But God will help to remove those stumblings when you get closer to him. But you have to be the one that's desirous to get closer to him. God, come on now, quit. God does not just hover over you and say, oh, I want to use you. Rise. Oh. You know, it's not some magical type of thing. It's not all of a sudden where God comes up and he has a magical baton and says, ding. And when he doings you, it's like, follow me. That's not the way it is. Let me tell you how it is. Man, the God gets up and you don't like anything he's saying. He's in your face. He's sitting in your lap. He's spitting in your eyeball. I mean, man, you know, you're saying, well, if I knew he was going to be that way tonight, I never would have showed up. But because God knew that you needed the way that he was going to be tonight, you showed up. And God expects you to be able to rise to that which is the preaching of the Word of God. My job as a preacher of the Word of God is to try and get you to go up and to obey God. It is not to bring God down to your nasty living. It is to take you and motivate you to go upward to God and to get close to God and to obey God. And if you do that, you'll be better off. So how is it tonight? I'm saying this. I'm saying that constant love. What is that constant love tonight? That's an agape love. It's a deep, spiritual, abiding love. What is it? It's a burden-bearing love. It's a consistent love. That consistent love will give you a desire not to walk in darkness. It will give you a desire not to stumble. It will give you a desire to get rid of hindrances out of your life. Get rid of hindrances out of your life. You know, not everything in your life is a sin. Not everything in your life is a sin. But there might be something in your life that's a hindrance. Oh, you say, preacher, I'd rather go to another church where I can live free and just and enjoy the liberality of making my own choices. You were not born into this world to make your own choices. You have a God you're supposed to answer to. Well, I ought to have a right. Well, you do have a right. You have a right to obey him or not to obey him. But in obeying him, he blesses you. See, that's what I wish we would get. We don't have a hard God unless we make God hard in our life. Come on, here it is. Here it is. Ready? Here it is. Come on. God says, I love you. Follow me. Come on. I love you. I'm commanding you. Follow me. And as long as I'm following him, as long as he's following God, follow me. Come on, follow me. Then all of a sudden, God's saying, follow me, and he stops. Follow me. As soon as he stops, God is still saying, follow me. And as long as you follow him, this is where the blessing is. But when you stop, if you stop, then you stop the blessings. You're not hurting God. You're hurting you. You're not hurting. Listen to me tonight. You're not hurting God. You're hurting your husband. You're hurting your wife. You're hurting your children. Hey, listen tonight. If you'll just get on board and follow God, I can assure you tonight that you'll see progress in your life. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this. I'm almost done. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11. The Bible says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Person says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm right with God, but I could never forgive my father for what my father did to me. Well, preacher, I'm right with God, but I could never forgive my mother for what my mother did to me. Well, preacher, I'm right with God, but I could never forgive my wife for what my wife did to me. Preacher, I'm right with God, but I could never forgive my husband for what my husband has done to me. There's only one problem with that equation. You're not right with God. There's no way. Because you cannot hate a brother, you cannot hate a sister, you cannot hate a mama, you cannot hate a daddy in secret and be right with God. You said, but you don't understand. You don't understand what they did to me. It has hurt me. It has damaged me on the inside so much. And it's a shame that that is holding you right now in captivity. That's a shame that you have to yield to that so much that whatever was done to you is stronger than the God you serve. Yes, sir. What a shame. Amen. I'm sorry you have such a puny God. Why can't you go to the altar and say, God, help me. God, I'm giving everything to you. God, I'm trusting you totally. Come on. Why can't you give your drug addiction to God? Why can't you give your pornography addiction to God? Why can't you give your loose living addiction to God? Why can't you give your wrong music addiction to God? Why can't you give your wrong relationship to God? Is not God strong enough? Is he so weak? Is he so malnutrished that you can't go to him, the God of the universe, and say, now look, I've got problems, God, and I just can't handle it by myself. God, I need you. You've already tried and failed. You've already proven you can't do it. You keep trying to have a happy home without him, and it's not working too well, is it? You said, but you don't understand. I don't have to understand. I've got a God that understands. He's the one you're supposed to go to. Some of you think you go to the preacher and the preacher has all the answers to all the problems. And I don't care what preacher you have, he'll never have all the answers to all the problems. But there's a God in heaven that has all the answers to all the problems. You go to that God. There's not a man up here that has enough wisdom to help you with all your problems. Not one man. But there's a God in heaven that can help you with all your... The problem is you're self-confident and you're trying to handle it all by yourself, and you cannot handle it all by yourself. Dear beloved friend, you're going to fall miserably over and over again. And before you know it, there's going to be a day you fall down so deep, so hard, so undetermined that you'll not be able to get up again. Now watch this and I'm done. Here's what happens. If you do not have that deep abiding love, how do we get that? We get that by walking close in obedience. So we obey him, he gives us agape love. That's a deep spiritual abiding love. As we walk close to him, he gives us that burden-bearing love. As we walk close to him, he gives us that consistent love. As we walk close to him and we get that consistent love, if you will. He helps us not to walk in darkness. He helps us not to stumble. He helps us not to have a hindered life. And listen to this, and I'm done. He helps you not to have slow growth. Come on. There is a way to grow faster than you're growing. I'm not talking about this way. Amen. But there is a way to grow faster than you're growing. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, the Bible says, And the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which he hath given unto us. Now, wait a minute. There's that obedience and there is that surrender. Listen to this. Last verse I'll read. The Bible says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Doth not behave itself. Talking about love now. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Now, wait a minute. What slows your growth down? Here it is. What slows your growth down? Here it is. Why is it that you're growing slow? Here it is. Because you're watching others more than you're being obedient to God. And people are slowing you down because they have your attention. Well, I watched that couple. And I can tell you that couple, they need to get their act together. You're so busy watching everybody else that you're not growing yourself. All right, let's go eating. Let's eat. We got food right here before us. Brother Craig is looking at that food. We say a prayer before we eat. We say, Dear Father, he can't wait. Hurry up, preacher. Don't pray long. I say, Dear Father, thank you for today. We sure do love you. We thank you for the food that you put before us right now. Wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to eat it. Lord, we're so very thankful. God, I pray that you'd bless this food to our body, give us energy, be able to complete the task that you have before us the rest of the day. And he said, hurry up. I say, in Jesus' name, amen, let's eat. And he takes off like a house of fire. And he just keeps it going. And I look at him like some of you are looking at those aggressive Christians. And you're saying, what in the world are they doing? Man, I didn't realize a person could do so much. They work a bus route all day on Saturday. They work 5 days a week. They get up at 4:30 in the morning, have to be at work at 6 a.m. They don't get off until 6 p.m. They come home beat tired. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Do not get a day off. Then they come and work a bus route for 6 hours on Saturday. Then they get up early and get up here and get on a bus, go around and pick up a bunch of snotty-nosed bus kids. Put their bodies on the bus and a bunch of unappreciative adults. Get them on the bus and bring them to church. They sit there half tired. They listen to preaching. They get back on a hot bus, no air condition. Ride the bus all the way home. Drop off the kids. Get done about time to get in here for choir practice. Go to choir practice. Get done choir practice and have to sit through a sermon where a preacher's going to get up and rip hide. Then they go home only to get up 4:30 the next morning. Say, what a life. Yeah, what a life. Because they're going to get more blessings than the lazy scoundrels that don't do as much. If you've got energy, you ought to use it for God. You know, we're not supposed to be in the ministry to just kind of go along and just do this and do. No, no, no. Listen, I watch him lap it up, lap it up, lap it up. Wow, look at that, look at that, look at that. And he gets it in there. And man, he's got energy. And now he begins to jump up and down and wow. And he's running and he is just getting with it. It's because you ate too much. Thank you. Be seated. Now, I'm saying this. Here's what we understand. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, the door to the room of success swings on the hinges of opposition.
That's good.
the doors, he said, the door to the room of success swings on the hinges of opposition. Can I tell you that it is very important that you and I understand we grow as fast as we want to grow. And here's how we grow. We grow by obedience. And we grow because we love Him. We love Him. You know, Monday is my study. Boy, I study a lot on Monday. I love to study and to get things moving and stuff. I love that study. And wait a minute, now watch this though. But man, on Tuesday I get to meet with these staff guys and all the counseling and stuff. But I get to meet with them. I get to hear how their week is going. I get to hear what God did. I get to hear visions that they have for their ministries and stuff like that. And I get to hear how much they love you and how much they love your kids. And I get to hear about how they want to do so much. And then, boy, I tell you what, on Wednesday, you know, of course, all week long, and of course, all the things we do on Wednesday, and the list is a mile deep, but then to come in here on Wednesday night and to see faithful people of God, and by the way, other people are watching you too. Come on. I've seen this, and I'll close here. I've seen people that used to be and are no more. I've seen it. I've seen people who used to serve God, and the Christian FBI cannot locate them now. I've seen it. But yet I see people that, man, they just serve, and they give it everything they've got, and the more they give to the Lord, you see this, the more God blesses them. You know, we have many people at work in our bus ministry. If I had them all to stand, it'd be an incredible amount to see. But I still marvel at some of our older people that work in the bus ministry. I do. Brother Kazar, been at it for umpteen years. Brother Stead, you know, he took that bus route a while back, you know. Now, Brother Stead's not necessarily a real young fella. And he came to me and he said, hey, preacher, he just got with me. Said, I'm ready now. Brother Walter's not a young guy. He's not. Look at his hair. He's not. He came to me the other day and he said, preacher, he said, I think I can be the bus captain of two routes. I think I've got it figured out. I think I could run an A route, pick them up, bring them in, put them in Sunday school, let them go to preaching, take them home, spin right over, pick a C route up, bring them in, let them go to Sunday school. And then, man, I was tired just listening to him. Well. And I think, how many people is going to be saved?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because of people, come on, amen, that give their all in those areas.
Yeah.
I'm saying tonight, there is that growth that we decide that we get.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.